Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Seed Tree Money Management and Wealth Building Lessons for Teens by Stephen Carter is a young adult financial education book presented as a fictional fable, centered on a sophomore named Andrew Black and his finance instructor, Mr. Sharp. It uses a story-driven format to introduce core ideas in personal finance, including budgeting, saving, investing, and the long-term value of compound interest. The book is designed for teens, but it is also positioned for parents, teachers, and other adults who want a simple entry point into financial literacy. Its purpose is practical rather than theoretical to help readers understand how money habits formed early can shape later choices, freedom, and stability. By combining narrative with direct financial lessons, the book tries to make concepts that often feel abstract or intimidating easier to absorb and remember. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a financial fable that turns money lessons into an accessible narrative. The book stands out because it does not present financial literacy as a dry checklist of rules. Instead, it uses a fictional classroom setting and a relatable teenage protagonist to frame the material as part of a story. That structure matters because young readers often engage more easily with characters than with instructional prose. Andrew Black becomes a stand-in for the reader, asking the kinds of questions many teens have but rarely express clearly, such as where money goes and how financial decisions actually work. This approach lowers the barrier to entry for readers who may have little background in finance. It also allows the author to layer lessons naturally into dialogue and classroom situations, rather than forcing them into dense explanations. In a category crowded with advice books, the narrative format gives the book its identity and makes the lessons easier to absorb without feeling like a lecture. Secondly, early financial literacy as the foundation for long-term freedom. A central idea in the book is that financial education should begin early, before habits and assumptions become fixed. The story repeatedly points toward the advantage of learning money management in adolescence, when readers can still shape spending. Saving and goal-setting habits before adulthood creates more financial pressure. This emphasis on timing is important because the book treats financial literacy not as optional enrichment, but as a basic life skill. The argument is practical people who understand money earlier are better positioned to avoid waste, make informed choices, and build stability over time. The book connects this idea to the common frustration that schools often do not teach personal finance in a structured way. By addressing that gap, it positions itself as a corrective rather than just a motivational resource. Its message is less about quick wins and more about building a durable foundation that can support better decisions across education, work, and future family life. Thirdly, compound interest and investing as the engine of wealth building. The book places strong emphasis on the difference between earning money and growing money. One of its key lessons is that wealth does not come only from high income, but from saving consistently and allowing investments to compound over time. That distinction is one of the book's most important educational contributions, because it challenges a common misconception among young people that financial security depends mainly on how much someone earns. Instead, the book shows that disciplined saving and early investing can be more powerful than income alone. This idea is especially relevant for teens because time is one of the few advantages they possess before entering adulthood. The earlier money is invested, the longer it has to grow. By highlighting compound interest, the book explains a foundational principle of wealth building in a way that is concrete enough for beginners to understand. This makes the book useful not just for inspiration, but for introducing a realistic framework for long-term financial growth. Fourthly, practical habits, budgeting, saving, and controlling everyday spending. Beyond broad principles, the book focuses on basic habits that shape daily financial life. Budgeting appears as a central discipline because it helps readers track where money is going instead of letting spending happen by default. Saving is presented as a deliberate practice rather than whatever remains after spending, which reflects a more intentional and realistic approach to money management. The book also addresses the emotional side of spending by acknowledging that many people wonder why their money disappears so quickly. That concern makes the material relatable and keeps the lessons grounded in everyday experience. What gives this topic value is its emphasis on repeatable behavior rather than one-time advice. A teen reader can understand the concepts immediately and begin applying them in small ways, such as tracking expenses, setting aside money, and separating needs from wants. This practical orientation makes the book more than a general financial overview. It is a guide to habits that can be adopted early and refined over time. Lastly, life planning beyond money, career choice, relationships, and balance. The final dimension of the book extends beyond personal finance into broader life planning, which helps distinguish it from narrower money guides. According to the material surrounding the book, the later lessons include reflections on career selection, marital compatibility, and balancing personal and professional life. These topics suggest that the author sees financial well-being as connected to larger life decisions rather than isolated from them. That perspective is useful because money problems are often tied to employment choices, family decisions, and lifestyle expectations. By including these themes, the book encourages readers to think of financial literacy as part of a larger framework for adulthood. It is not only about managing cash flow, but about choosing a path that supports stability and values over time. This broader lens makes the book more holistic than many teen finance books, which stop at budgeting or saving. It asks readers to consider how money fits into the full structure of a responsible and sustainable life. In conclusion, The Seed Tree is best suited for teens who are just beginning to think seriously about money, as well as parents, teachers, and mentors looking for a simple and approachable financial literacy resource. Its main benefit is that it teaches core concepts such as budgeting, saving, investing, and compound interest through a story that is easier to absorb than a traditional finance manual. Readers who struggle with technical or jargon-heavy personal finance books may find this format especially useful. The book also has value for slightly older readers who never received basic money education and want a quick refresher on the fundamentals. What distinguishes it from many other books in the teen finance category is its combination of narrative accessibility and practical life guidance. It does not limit itself to abstract financial advice. It connects money habits to education, career direction, relationships, and long-term balance. That broader perspective gives the book a more complete sense of financial preparation. As a result, it works both as an introduction to personal finance and as a framework for thinking about adulthood with greater intention. If you would like to support Stephen Carter, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.